43. I'll read two passages of Scripture, and then we'll get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Again, to all of our guests, it is our privilege and our honor that you chose to be here today. There are many places that you could be today, but I'm thankful that you came here.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
That means a lot to this preacher and to this church.
Yeah.
Amen. We are glad that you are here in the house of the Lord worshiping with us. And I pray that God ministers to you and helps you, gives you wisdom, gives you understanding. Whatever you need today, God is able to supply. And there's a whole lot of folks in here that know that to be true, because there was, is, and will continue to be as long as the Lord tarries, that there will be things that we need from God.
Right.
Amen. That He can only answer, that He can only do for us. Amen. He said, I will supply all your needs.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter number 43, and I want to begin reading with verse number 18 and continue to verse 19, and that will be it. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things. This is God speaking. If you go up about, I think it's about three or four verses, it is evident that it's the Lord speaking to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, amen, and I'm going to add this, I hope you don't mind, in you. God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Well, who's He going to do a new thing in? He's talking to the people of Israel, right? And so He said, I'm going to do a new thing in you. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Are you not going to be aware of what I'm going to do in your life? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Rivers, it didn't say river. It said rivers, multiple. Amen. There's going to be multiple rivers in the desert. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word. And in this setting of Scripture, we have several things, and I'd like to dissect it for just a little while. And I know there may be some today that you say, well, I've heard it. I've heard you already preach from this passage of Scripture. Well, guess what? We're going to go there again. We're going to take off and launch in another way again today. But I also want to stop for just a moment and turn this in a little bit different direction. Then I'll come back and tag in. And I want to say this. I felt this yesterday while I was studying and praying and talking to God about the Word of the Lord today. And my attention was turned to Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 28. It said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully, or truthfully, or honestly. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire? Now that goes hand in hand with this chaff and wheat idea, because we understand in other places of the Scripture that the fire burns up the chaff but doesn't harm the wheat. That the wind will blow away the chaff, the things that are nonsense, the things that are meaningless, the things that don't have any value will get blown away, but things that are honest and pure and truthful are going to remain the same. And then he says, and like a hammer. He said, my word is like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. When you break that down and you look at it, you can look at it for face value, but yet it is talking about a place where the people and the children of Israel were at. And he talked about the word being like a hammer and breaking up the the hard things of our lives, breaking them into pieces. Actually, that rock even translated into a fortress. That God was interested in breaking down the fortress or the walls that they had put up against God. He was interested in breaking down those walls so that he could save them and deliver them. We know even today, and as many of us are sitting here, there are walls that we have built up. Oh yeah, there's little securities that we don't want to let anybody in because I've been hurt here and this has happened in my life. And let's just be honest, that's exactly the way most of us are in some area or another in our life. We'll let people get so close, but then all of a sudden, boom, there comes that wall. Well, I'm going to tell you that God wants to break down every one of those walls and become intimately known in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He wants to break those things down. It's my desire today, this morning, to spark something new, to spark something alive in your life, in your spirit. Please don't misunderstand when I say this, but I am so angered. Some go, whoa. I am angered. Can I say also I am burdened in my spirit that the enemy of our soul has lied so much. And that's what I'm mad about. I'm upset. I'm frustrated that the enemy has continued to lie to people day in and day out and cheated so many out of a real blessing from God, out of a real touch from God. Let me say it like this, even out of a real change of God. And there are, can I say, and I understand this, that there are many preachers, prophets, whatever you want to call them. It really doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you call them. But there's a lot of folks, and our preachers in particular, that are preaching today, but not for people to really have a change, really be delivered. I'm interested today in being a conduit. I cannot save, I cannot deliver, but I do know the one that can save, and I do know the one that can deliver, and I do know the one that can heal. Amen. I have seen his miracles performed on multiple occasions, and I'm expecting God to do something great this morning in somebody's life. I'm looking for God to make a real difference in somebody's life, but in the most miraculous way, that without a shadow of a doubt, you will be able to say for yourself, God has touched me. God did something in my life. God has made a difference in me. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah's writing to the children of Israel, they were in a very dark period of history. They were in captivity. They had lost everything. They had lost their homes. They had lost their land that they thought they would have been able to stay in and keep forever. But yet here they find themselves homesick, desperate, in captivity, despondent, in despair, oppressed, depressed. All the things that many of us face today. Things that you thought would always be good and in your favor, that you want, that are now gone, but you want desperately back. Maybe some joy, maybe some peace, maybe some contentment, maybe just simple hope. You see, we're living in a world and a society today that has lost hope. Amen. But I'm here to preach to you today that Jesus still is the hope of your salvation. He is still the one that you can hope for and trust in. I understand today, and I know what I'm facing. I know what I'm facing today. I'm facing some skeptics. I'm facing some critical thinkers. That's all right with me. And that's good on your part to be a critical thinker, because many have said, well, I tried this church, and I tried that church, and I tried this organization. Let me remind somebody today that this ain't a church. Oh, yeah, we got a sign out on the street, and yeah, this is a building, but the scripture is emphatic about this building not being the church. The church is not an organization. The church is not something like that. The church is members in particular. It's individuals that have a relationship with God. Our world today has religion. And I'm going to say it again. I hate religion. I hate religion. I don't want nothing to do with it. But I'll tell you what I do want today. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I want. I'm not interested in organization. I'm not interested in the religious mechanics of this world. I want Jesus. And that's what's going to separate us or my thoughts or ideology, if you will, from a lot of others. I don't care about religious organization and all the functioning and all the fanfare and all that stuff. What I want is you to have a relationship with God like you've never had before.
Yeah.
I always said too that if I can, and I think this is good for everybody to go by. If you have something that somebody else doesn't have, if you know something, have some tidbit of understanding or wisdom, and you're talking to somebody and they're telling you something and you've got an answer for them, it's something in the heart of humanity that says, "Let me help you with this," right? And if I can help you with this, to take you apart, it's not to degrade you or to make you feel stupid or to make you feel insecure or inadequate. No, I want to say, if I've got something to help you, why don't you let me help you up? You may be at this level in your walk with God, and God said, hey, I got something for you today. I want to take you up one level higher. Wouldn't you want to go? Wouldn't you want to take that step up? Man, you're here today.
Yeah.
You want something different. You want to feel something different. Something needs to change in your life.
Amen.
Well, no, I'm just fine just the way I am. Well, and some of us may feel that today. But I'm praying that God will just gently work his way into your life and in your heart and your mind and spark something new and alive in your world. Amen. They were in that place of captivity. In order for us to have a miraculous happening in our life, we must change our focus. We've got to change our focus. We've got to quit looking behind and start looking ahead. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me just stop there for a second and put it to you like this. Many of us probably have a certain writer that we enjoy reading their material. One of my favorites is Louis L'Amour.
Amen.
I like him.
Come on.
Because he gets everybody in a bad situation, but he always gets them out.
Yep.
So just like the author, amen, Louis L'Amour, God is a much, much better author than him. And he's writing your story. And you may be in a situation or have had circumstances or been thrown a curveball in life and you don't know what to do. You feel like you're in that box canyon and that you can hear the pounding of the horse's hooves resonating through that canyon as you're facing a sheer cliff, rock wall.
Right?
Anybody there right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. and you look up and there's just no way. I'm telling you, and God, he's got the pen in his hand. The scripture said he's the author. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you that no matter what your situation is, he's a good author. And he has an ability to write your story. Amen. He has an ability to write your story where everything was chaotic and everything was upside down and it didn't look like there was any hope and you were held captive. He starts really getting fancy with his pen and all of a sudden, poof, you're out on the other side. And I'm not talking by some magical way, but I'm talking by some miraculous way that God intervenes in your life and he turns the situation around. To continue in that setting of scripture, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How in the world can you say, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, all of the pain, all of the suffering. I'm going to tell you what he knew. What he knew is that on the other side, on the other side of the blood, on the other side of the piercing, on the other side of all of the pain and agony, he knew there was going to be joy someday, and that joy is continuing today in you all, in me. It's continuing today because he said, I'm going to do this today, and for future generations, I'm going to die for their sins. I'm going to die for all humanity that they can be saved, that they can be healed, that they can be delivered. And so he saw the joy. He saw the joy coming because he knew there was some chaos coming to your world. He knew that there was some heartache and some pain coming to your world. He knew that there was some disease and some sickness coming to your world. But he said, I got some joy. I got some joy because my sacrifice on Calvary's cross is going to take care of that. My sacrifice, the shedding of my blood, is going to do something miraculous for that individual. Maybe you've never been in an apostolic Pentecostal church, and maybe you've never been around a preacher that's so fanatical. But I'm just crazy about my Lord. I'm crazy about what he's done for me. You see, I didn't do anything to deserve where I'm at today. But it's because of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, that he brought me out of the deep miry clay, that he set my feet upon a rock. There's no good thing in me. Because I know the enemy wants to tell somebody, oh, well, you probably lived for God all your good little life. Hard on me. I ain't been perfect by no stretch of the imagination. But boy, I can tell you of God's mercy when I have faltered, when I have fallen, when I have transgressed. Oh, how he's picked me up. So I can preach about hope today. I can preach about life today. Because there were some times. Now, I don't know. But I'm just going to say this. Just so you don't think my world was all perfect, I had a shotgun in my mouth. I had my shoes off, my socks off, and my toe on the trigger with a 12-gauge shotgun stuck in my mouth one day. Because I lost hope. Because I lost hope. Because I was frustrated with life. Because I was hurt. Because I was dealing with stuff.
Right.
I feel like I got to say that to somebody because somebody in here feels like, well, you just don't understand my situation. Let me tell you, sir. Let me tell you, ma'am. I do know.
Yes.
I do know.
Yes,
it took a lot, and I remember the day that I sat there in my pickup truck in the middle of the woods, and I had that thing shoved in my mouth, and I put my toe on the trigger, and I said, God, if you're real, you're going to have to stop this. And I woke up 3.5 hours later. I had fallen asleep. Bam. And I realized.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank God.
There is something bigger than I.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is somebody that cares about me more than I can even begin to imagine. Yes. Because I was ready to end my life. And I said, God, if you're real.
He's real.
3.5 hours, I wake up and I realize, God, you are real. Because there was no way, even falling asleep, my foot should have went limp as my toe was in that trigger guard.
God is good.
I'm telling you, God knows how to save. God knows how to deliver. God knows how to take your life in the palm of his hands. In a moment, in the snap of a finger, he'll be right there. He's not interested that any one of you perish. He's not interested in any of you being lost. He's not interested in anybody being distorted and depressed. Well, hallelujah. Let me quickly go back to the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Now let's go back to this opening setting of Scripture, verse 18. Remember ye not the former things. I said, we've got to change our focus. Don't remember the former things. Neither consider the old things. That word remember is to mark it down. Anybody ever heard the old saying, making a mountain out of a molehill? How many times are we guilty of doing that? How many times are we making a memorial out of a moment?
Right.
In the moment I failed, in the moment I transgressed, and we make a monument there. We set a marker there. We almost build a shrine and worship our failure.
Let's
be real with ourselves. There's plenty of us that know and have marked time and time again in our life where we failed, where we didn't do this right and we didn't do that right. And that's oftentimes what prevents us from going forward.
Amen.
There's two things that I want us to remember today. And one thing, the first thing is, you cannot depend upon your past victories to sustain you.
Right.
The children of Israel, even though they had many victories, such as, let me give you just an idea of what I'm talking about. They left the land of Egypt in a miraculous way. They even got to the Red Sea, enemy facing or chasing them down. The Red Sea opens up. They get to the other side. God shuts the Red Sea up, drowns all of the enemy. There's a great victory there.
Right.
But they couldn't live on that victory because they had to go in and conquer in the land of Canaan. They couldn't leave there. They couldn't stay there because then it was just after that that they had a split amongst their country and amongst their native, their kingdom. And so you have all of these things, and they could never go back on the last victory and live off the last victory. Let me tell somebody here today, just because you have a relationship and a phenomenal experience with God somewhere in your past doesn't mean you stop there.
That's right.
The Bible even emphatically tells us to go on from victory to victory. It is our purpose and a need in us to go from victory to victory. But oftentimes we have this problem amongst us that we go to victory and we just kind of hang out there. And what do when we hang out there? We become stagnant. We become ineffective. Nothing goes on. And before too long, if you hang out at that victory, you'll begin to digress slowly but surely because you're trying to live on a victory that's said and done. The second thing is that a lot of folks do, if they're not trying to live off of that old victory, they live in the past. Failures, mistakes, and so on and so forth. Israel did not feel worthy. They did not feel like they deserved the blessings of God because of all that they had done against God. They were living in the past. They were demoralized. They had trouble thinking.
Amen.
They had trouble thinking after all they had done. How could God love me? I dare say that even in this great congregation here today, then there are people that say, you don't understand. How could God love me? Because I've done this in my past, and I've done that in my past, and I've done this. Let me take a moment and tell you about a young man by the name of Matt Button. When I was 16 years old, he was 16 years old. We played basketball a little bit together and rode skateboards together. And I was just doing that just for an opportunity to talk to him about God. I began to talk to him about God one day, and he asked me to come into his bedroom of his house. And I said, sure. We walked in because I had testified to him about God. And we walked into his bedroom. And on the wall, his idol was Ozzy Osbourne. His idol were all death metal type of individuals. He had a Pentagon painted on one wall. He had stacks of books on what to do and how to learn how to be a satanic priest. His walls were painted black. I walked into his bedroom and he goes, what do you think? I said, yeah, so what? He goes, are you sure that Jesus can do something in my life? And I said, oh man, of course he can. He said, but I've been studying to be a satanic priest. I said, and? He said, I've done sacrifices in my backyard. And I said, okay. What I didn't realize was our backyard was connected to his backyard. When I looked out the window, I could see my back porch. Like, wow, man, isn't this something? I'm telling you, it wasn't too long after that. I said, look, Matt, just come to church with me. Just come to church with me, and I want you to experience something and feel something that's real. And he said, all right, but I'm not changing. Of course. I said, I didn't ask you to change. I just asked you to come and feel something. Feel something that's real. I didn't ask you to change. And that's what everybody says. I had somebody just say this to me just the other day. They said, well, I'll come, but don't try to change me. I ain't trying to change nobody. I just want you to feel something that's real.
Oh, hallelujah.
You were just expressing to me how you felt about other places that you've gone, and you don't feel God, and you don't feel this, and you don't feel that. And I'm just saying that. Come check it out. See if you feel God. If you don't feel God, don't ever have to come back. But inevitably, they feel God. Amen. Just like some of you are here today, you feel God. You know there's something different. You may not be able to put your finger right on it, but you go, there's something different about this. There's something more real about this than I've experienced before. And I'm going to tell you, that's what happened to Matt Button. And in just a few weeks, I'll never forget the day, Brother Quincy, God miraculously touched him.
Oh, praise
miraculously God. Touched him. And he said, Derek, he said, come on to my house. I need your help. I said, okay, what are we doing? He said, just come over. We went over to his house, and he had a burn barrel in the backyard. And he said, we're going to burn some stuff. I said, okay. And he said, help me take these books out. And we started burning it. Help me take these tapes out. Now, that's way back then. Help me. They were almost 8-tracks. But tapes were a brand new thing. We start taking tapes out. We start pulling posters off the wall. And he bought some paint with what little money that he had. We painted his room white instead of black. We said, there's so many things. He said, I'm done with that life. I'm done with that. God is real. God has done something.